Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, eyes on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Howdy. I am Lieutenant Colonel Retired Alan West, President and CEO of the National Center for Policy Analysis and former member of the United States Congress. And you are listening to Audrey Russo, my dear friend, on Real Talk Radio. Listen up, or else I'll drop you for push-ups. Thank you.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. And we've been keeping a close eye, as always, on the Middle East and the movement of groups like ISIS or the Islamic State, who have targeted innocent Christians to fulfill their Quranic commands. We're about to get an update on the region and much more with my next guest. For my new listeners, U.S. Army retired Lieutenant Colonel Sarja Sangari is CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. He's had 6 years of continuous combat deployment in the Middle East. Sargis has conducted 144 combat patrols, 22 special forces missions, and survived 7 IED attacks. He has served 20 years in the U.S. military. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Sargis Sangari. Welcome back, Sargis.
Thank you for having me back, Audrey. Much appreciated.
Well, it's great to have you back with us. And, of course, first I have to start out with congratulations to for the Chicago Blackhawks' win of Lord Stanley's Cup.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're a hockey fan, yes?
Yes, I am. I take personal responsibility for them winning the Cup this year.
Yeah, if anybody was going to win it in that bout there, it had to be, you know, one of the original six teams, which was Chicago. So I was rooting for Chicago, not the Lightning. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to take away from the talent that's there because God gave, you know, each one of those that are talented there, he gave them their gifts. But speaking in hockey terms and as a Ranger fan, I hate the Lightning. But anyway, I just thought I'd get that out there. But it's great to see Chicago win it, and so we'll see. I won't even talk about it because I'll just start crying on air, so I won't talk about what happened to us.
That's okay. We did use a former Ranger to help us win it, so thank you very much for letting him go.
That's right. Yeah, you're welcome. It was our gift.
No problem.
So That now that we have to, every once in a while we got to laugh because the stuff we talk about is so serious. So we're going to jump into this. Now the results of the Turkish election seem to benefit the pro-Kurdish party and prevent Erdogan from changing the Turkish constitution to reflect Sharia law. Thank God for that. I have a two-part question for you, Sarah. Just how will the election results in Turkey affect the region, good or bad, and how will it affect Christians in the Middle East?
Well, in the Kurdish election, Audrey, you know, President Erdogan's goal was for this election for his AKP party to get a supermajority. He was looking at a 55% or more in the parliament, and what that would have allowed him to do was for him to amend the constitution in order to have the president act in the role of the prime minister, designator of the courts and prosecutors, and also be the head of his own party. Essentially, he would have been allowed to make decisions, enforce and review all the laws. However, what happened was because the Turkish Kurds agreed to back a single party, in previous years they had gone ahead and split their own votes amongst various factions, with no single party having the majority, gaining the 5% of the Kurdish vote. The nationalistic groups of the conservative Turks abandoned the AK and voted for the other parties within the region. Mainly the Nationalistic Movement Party received much of the support. So he lost 7-10%, and what that led two was inability for him to be able to establish a unified government. I think where Turkey falls right now is in a position where they have to work with other parties. Other parties have already come on and said that we're going to take a look at the past 12 years of corruption that has existed within those parties. And one effect that is going to have for not just Turkey, the Christians in Iraq, in Syria, and also the Kurdish regional government in Iraq, is that a lot of those specific corruption contracts that they're going after are tied to all the contracts that we used to execute when I was on range that were tied towards trying to rebuild the infrastructure of northern Iraq. So you're going to see an effect on the KRG leadership. Kurdish regional government in Iraq has now lost one of their backers, and that individual, being Erdogan, being lost politically within the region, you're probably looking at the KRG, in this case Barzani, not running for the 2015 elections for another term as a president. If he doesn't run, then it's going to affect possibly who might be the heads of Peshmerga, which his son is there, and also the security leadership for the Pesh. That also affects our foreign military sales and direct support for the Kurds mm-hmm. in the region. There may be a delay in that process. If there's a delay, the negative for the Christians would be you're looking at possibly effects in Ankara and Erbil with possible attacks and bombings just prior to the elections that are going to negatively affect the KRG security within the region. And Turkey possibly looking at sometime in the future having to physically move into northern Syria and also northern Iraq in order to be able to secure its footprint, even wow. though the elections have put a check on Erdogan's ability to move in those two countries.
Have we seen at least, are we saying goodbye to Erdogan right now? I mean, with the election results?
Well, I mean, the request... Correct. The request has been for him to step down. It's going to be very hard to negotiate any other way. One of the two, the president or the prime minister, will probably have to step down. It depends on if there's going to be a battle of the wills. Now, Erdogan's other capability is that he may go ahead and annul the elections. If that happens, it will definitely destabilize the region more, further than it has already. And I'm not sure if we're ready for that. You know, and Turkey, just like any other country within the region, is playing all the characters and has its hand muddied in various too many areas. You know, they have allowed weapons, supply, and equipment to get to ISIS, to their borders. There have been underground tunnels found that are going directly from Turkey into Syria. At the same time, they were buying oil on the cheap from ISIS operators until we took out Abu Sayyaf, who was selling the oil cheap for Turkey. At the same time, they're supporting the YPG, who's making gains against ISIS within the region. So most of these countries are playing both sides of the fence, seeing who's going to be in the lead, and are starting now to focus more on the economic battles rather than the ideological battles, given some of the losses that are occurring within the region.
Sure. Of course, it becomes financial because they need the money. But ideologically, they're pretty much on the same page, and then it becomes a fight for who gets to be the caliphate this week. But anyway, he was hoping to, of course, raise up the old, typically like the old Ottoman Empire, because they have the caliphate on the brain. In Turkey, for sure. But I guess the Kurdish people smacked them down on that one. I'm going to jump over to Iran for a second. The so-called deal that Obama is pushing and furiously for will not only hurt our friends, Israel, who Iran views as the little Satan, and the U.S., which Iran views as the great Satan, but the Middle East Christians are in great danger. Am I correct, Sargis?
Well, the Middle East and Christians are in grave danger. That's one of the reasons why we started the UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org. Yesterday, we were able to send $4,900 to be able to support the multi-families of the Assyrians that are fighting against ISIL and ISIS forces, both in Iraq and Syria. Reality is that they're not receiving any of the support and equipment. The agreement with Iran, when it comes to the nuclear agreement, a lot of people will tell you from a Middle Eastern perspective that agreement has already been struck. It's just a matter of allowing it to go through. When our Delta forces took out Abu Sayyaf on the same week that that was happening, our oil companies were negotiating in Iran for a possible lifting of sanctions. After the sanctions have been lifted, to be able to have a footprint within the region there. Look, Iran is an ascending player. Iran is sitting across from all the I-5 countries negotiating for a nuclear deal. Iran has a footprint in Yemen with the Houthis that recently just killed, as of 3 weeks ago, one of the generals in the Saudi government. And Saudi has had at least close to 500 to 1,000 bombings have taken place within its country. Iran, at the same time, has pushed various different factions within Saudi that have stood up against the Saudi government. That government may not last any time soon. Iran has sent 15,000 fighters. Some of them are militiamen, but the others are Iranian military personnel to Syria that are to stabilize a regime there. Iran has struck contracts, is negotiating for oil with the United States, has struck contracts with Russia. Russia has approved sales of aircraft weapons to the Syrian government that are going to be delivered, which
wow.
is a friend of Iran itself. At the same time, Iran has Hezbollah is sitting on the oil fields in Kirkuk, which were the oil fields that the KRG needed for its future footprint in the region. Iran is sending humanitarian aid to Yemen. At the same time, Saudi is bombing Yemen, and Iran is at the same time sending humanitarian aid to the Christian Assyrians. When Christian Assyrians, through their communities, that asked for support within less than 24 hours, you had 24 tons of humanitarian aid that went to the Christian Assyrians in Syria and in Iraq.
Wow.
So the reality is that's who you're negotiating with, and a lot of people believe that the reason why Iran is where it is currently is because of the steps that we have taken as the United States to support possibly a belief that the Shiites are going to be ascending in the region.
Oh, gosh, I can't even get into it. My head will explode if I start to talk about this administration on this. But I am actually, we have about 5 more minutes, but I would like if you could, you have some information on Egypt, and well, I mean, you shared about Putin, but do you have more information about Egypt? Am I correct?
Yes, Audrey. As far as Egypt is concerned, you know, when like I said, when we take out a major player in ISIS who's dealing oil to Turkey on the cheap. Now what has happened is a lot of these countries are playing both sides of the fence. Just like Turkey is supporting YPG and helping ISIS at the same time, you see that Saudi Arabia is fighting against ISIS while is also giving weapons to certain ISIS factions. At the same time, you see other countries that are trying to be the lead of the Arab nations within the region stepping up. In this case, do not be surprised if you see Egypt taking military action on the ground against Libya in order to stabilize Libya itself. But stabilizing Libya would also mean that Egypt will now have access to the oil fields in Libya. So it's not just a ideological battle, economic battle. Pinpoint targeting really is not working. Various different factions fighting is not working. So you're probably going to see more of a ground forces now being introduced. This is the phase where Turkey has to make a decision to introduce those in northern Syria and possibly in KRG area if it becomes more destabilized, like I said, probably over the next 3-4 weeks. All the way through August, and then you're probably going to see Egypt taking steps to possibly introduce ground forces into Libya itself. The only people who would be holding those actions up would be possibly Western nations that have their own interests within the region economically.
Now, I know that the Kurds are willing to have boots on the ground, willing to fight, but we are not giving them the aid that they need to do that. Shouldn't we be doing that at this point since we don't want any more American boots on the ground?
I think you're going to see a delay. Be honest, as much as they may be gaining footprint in Syria, don't take it as a success. You saw what happened in we took Tikrit and ISIS took Ramadi. Same thing's going to happen probably in Syria. We take certain key nodes as far as the coalition is concerned, and then ISIS maneuvers around those particular nodes. As far as the KRG is concerned, the reality is that in the past year, KRG has lost territory and it really has not been able to take it back, to including Kirkuk, where it lost it to the Shia militia. That's just the reality. With the election being lost to Erdogan, who's a very key ally of the KRG, now being in a power vacuum, you're going to see possible changes in KRG leadership. That being the case, U.S. is probably going to have to hold off prior to committing any type of formality sales directly or delay that process to the Kurds, given the fact that you're not going to know who's going to be the head of the Peshmerga or who's going to be the head of the security of the Pesh. And then, look, the reality was that even the capital of Erbil was going to be overrun if it wasn't for U.S. platforms knocking out the targets that were maneuvering against it. And once you've been on the ground and you know the tactical layout, a few bombings here and there is going to probably disrupt Erbil to a point where it would become mass chaos. So I don't know if you have the capability right now, even in Kurdistan, for it to be able to stand up on its own. If the Kurds in Turkey push a lot against the Erdogan and his forces politically, then, the same country that allows ISIS to operate freely through its borders may limit its wants and desires to support the Kurdish regional government to secure its areas.
Is the State Department still refusing to send any aid to the Assyrian Christian Army?
Yes, they are, but we have some good notes, finally. It took some time to get here, but I wanted to make sure that if you do have these representatives in your district, please call them and thank them on our behalf. Representative Jess Fortenberry, Republican from Nebraska, Anna Ishu, who's an Assyrian herself, Democrat from California, and Jeff Durham, who's a Republican from California, they issued a statement after a meeting on the 17th of June with the White House National Security Team urging assistance to persecuted Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East. They suggested three pillars approach that includes humanitarian aid, special refugee status in the U.S., and for those persecuted individuals and families, and direct military assistance for the Christian self-defense forces, which are fighting against ISIS in Iraq and the Levant. So they need to be praised for what they did. The reality is that they even brought it up that U.S. aid partners have only reached 24% of the displaced populations residing outside of the camps where most of the Syrians are. Our worry is that Syrians being in Ankawa with a destabilized political atmosphere that exists now, we don't want them to be targeted in the refugee camps anytime soon. And we need to get that military aid to the Syrians as soon as possible.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, can you give me those representatives' names again? Because I want to make sure that the listeners have that.
Yes, Representative from Nebraska, Jeff Fortenberry, on the issue, Democrat from California, who is an Assyrian, and Jeff Denham, for representative from California.
Great. Okay, yes, and we're grateful. And this is that's really very good news to hear that. Sergeant, where can listeners follow and support your excellent work?
I think the biggest thing we need is financial support currently until the State Department steps in and the Congress and tries to help. That support needs to be done through donations for UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org. And thank you, Audrey, for your help. You know, these three representatives have recently said in a statement that ISIL's genocide campaign of religious cleansing has placed horrific pressures on these religions and ancient Christian communities in the region. The fact that they're using the word genocide now is very important. We need to support that first, support their efforts, get the State Department to finally recognize it as a genocide in the administration so we could get much more funding to them than through direct donations through the UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org. The other piece I would say is go to the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, take a look at what we do with link analysis, and let us know if you understand specifically what's happening in the region. I'll tell you one thing as a closing. You know, if you go through the Bible, one note that falls on people's ears is Job. And in Job it says, we must be careful what we assume to be true in the lives of others. We cannot assume that suffering is their own fault and a result of their sin. In this case, the Christian Assyrian suffering in the Middle East, and even any other person suffering in the Middle East, to include the Shia, Muslim, and the Yazidis, Turkmen, and the Shabak, it's not at their fault. These are regional issues that have a lot of implications economically and ideologically is affecting them. We need to save these people. ISIS is killing them. They're brutal. They're not willing to listen.
That's true. Absolutely. And I will give any links that Sargis has shared. They will be in my social media and my after show. Thanks so much, Sargis, for sharing your assessments on these critical issues, and we look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and Christians under Muslim persecution. Bye for now.
Thank you very much, Audrey. Thank you.
Thank you.